And Robin, Grand Junction's Daily Sentinel isn't the only newspaper making cuts. The owner of the New York Daily News also announced this week that it is cutting staff to focus more on digital news. We're hearing that story a lot. Let's bring in NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik. Hi, David.
Hey, Jeremy.
And let's start with the Daily News. It's been aggressive in covering local news in New York City. It's won 11 Pulitzer Prizes, including one last year, but obviously, things have not been working financially. What is there logic behind what Trunk, the owner, is doing?
Here's the surface logic. The industry itself is, you know, across the country, as we've just heard, being hit in markets large and small by changes in how people consume news and where advertisers are fleeing to try to catch up with them through Google and Facebook in particular. That said, you know, if you look at the tabloid business in New York, the Daily News and the Post have bled money for years, and they've been propped up by the interest and vanity of their billionaire owners. Rupert Murdoch at the New York Post has a huge empire that helps them subsidize that. And Mort Zuckerman, the real estate magnate here in New York, used the New York Daily News, like Murdoch used the Post, to have a place at the table to talk, be able to talk politics, public policy, and have big issues. He sold it to Trunk last year. That's not what they do. And they've shown in market after market that they want to wring out big costs. And in this, in the nation's largest market, they've clearly wrung out the most. They're cutting what was already a shriveled staff in half, down to about 40 journalists.
Yeah, well, you know, it makes me think about even smaller papers. I've been thinking, David, about the tiny Woodstock Standard in Woodstock, Vermont. They had a terrible fire last week, burned their office to the ground. They still put a paper out, as they have for 165 years, with the help of the community. They have an 82-year-old owner, Philip Camp, who says, "We're not, you know, closing." The Capital Gazette in Annapolis, the devastating shooting there. You have pictures of the staff working to put out the paper, and people again from the town coming, bringing sandwiches, rallying around them. These smaller papers mean something.
You know, Robin, I think you're right. I think they help to bind communities and give them a sense of identity, particularly in places that are outside major cities. But, you know, for Annapolis, a proud small state capital, a place that's home of the U.S. Naval Academy, you know, a place known for seafaring folks in the Chesapeake Bay and the like, the newspaper has been a central defining feature of the community there. And people have rallied around, as journalists have rallied, to donate their time and services to help do reporting and to help that staff keep putting out the paper.
Mm. We should note also that in many places where the local newspaper is the only place you can get news, the public radio station is also a very important source of local news in places that have lost other sources of local news. But David, are these local papers ever going to be able to have the business model that something like the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal or the Washington Post, these national papers have?
No, and I think one way you're able to see that is the degree to which all three of those titles have flourished as they've pulled back from doing local coverage. You know, Wall Street Journal you think of as mainly a financial paper, but after its acquisition a little more than a decade ago by Rupert Murdoch, it promised to really throw resources at covering the greater New York area and did so and has pulled back. The New York Times has pulled back greatly. It's much more interested in getting subscribers in Shanghai and Sao Paulo and St. Petersburg than it is in the outer boroughs of New York at this point. They think that there's more high-priced digital subscribers to be found at lower incremental cost through gathering up people who want to read stuff from all over the world.
Look, I want to ask you about CNN reporter Caitlin Collins. She was excluded from a press event yesterday. CNN says it was because she was told she asked inappropriate questions of the president as pool reporter representing all media when she asked the president questions about the tape of him and his lawyer, Michael Cohen. Last night on Fox News, Brett Baer read a statement of support from Fox for her. Let's listen.
As a member of the White House press pool, Fox stands firmly with CNN on this issue of access.
You know, people are saying, wow, but I remember during the Obama administration, there was an attempt to block Fox, and CNN and others opposed that. Your thoughts?
Well, and Brett Baer directly referred to that when he caught flack from some of Fox's most conservative fans and said, listen, Jake Tapper and CNN stood up for us. We on the news side need to do that. Jay Wallace, the president of Fox News, put out a similar statement to Brett Baer's. It was interesting to note that one of their lead anchors on Fox Business, Lou Dobbs, trashed Collins and CNN, saying, who the hell do you think you are? Right. And there's a bit of a split. Let's not forget the guy issuing the edict at the White House over this is Bill Shein, former co-president of Fox News.
All comes back to that. NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik, thank you.
You bet, guys.